kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Teaching, we're calling this I am your shield. I am your shield. And I want to base this from where God confirms and makes covenant with Abraham. And if we turn to Genesis 15 and verse 1, Genesis 15 and verse 1. He says here, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." Now, here we get an idea of God being a shield. You see, God is beginning to give revelations of himself and how he's going to reveal himself as saints walk this earth. And he's showing with Abraham that he's going to be his shield. Now, like so many of these things, note what Abraham says in verse 2. He doesn't thank the Lord. He doesn't say, "Thank you, praise you, that you're going to be my shield, you're going to protect me." And he says, but Abraham said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" So he doesn't really hear properly what the Lord is saying to him. He's more concerned about other things. And he said, "I haven't got an heir." Now, one could say, well, what's that to do with what God has raised here with regard to the fact that he's going to be his shield, he's going to protect him and everything? And we do exactly the same, don't we? You know, God speaks to us, whether he does personally or through the word or experiences, or he speaks to us through the teaching today. Yet we probably have come today, this evening, with other things that is vexing us or is of more concern to us. And so the question I raise is, are we listening? Are we going to take in that the Lord says, "I am your shield"? Because he wants to talk to us tonight about this shield. Or are we going to do what Abraham says, "Yes, Lord, but I need an heir. I haven't got an heir. What am I going to do? Here you are making covenant with me and telling me you are my shield and everything, but I haven't got an heir." And he's not fully listening to the Lord. Now, all of this is interesting in the context of what is being written here. You see, the story goes, doesn't it, that there were four kings from the area of Sodom, and their armies came to spoil the land. And they defeated the kings of Sodom, and they had taken Lot and his family as hostages. And when the news came to Abraham that his nephew with his family had been taken hostage by these four kings, Abraham armed himself and pursued after them virtually to Damascus. And when Abraham caught up with them, he engaged with them in battle, and he actually defeated them. And he rescues Lot, if you remember, and all the loot that these kings had gathered from the kings they had defeated. And as he was returning with the spoil of war, the king of Sodom came out to meet Abraham, and he said, keep all the spoil and just return the people to the king. And listen to this. And Abraham declared that he had sworn to God that he would not take as much as a shoelace from the king of Sodom, lest he would brag and be boastful that he had made Abraham rich. So we see what God has done in Abraham's heart, how God protected there. And of course, this sort of thing happened in those days. You know, anyone could just come along and pillage and take your property or take whatever it is, and your concubine or your family. They weren't safe times. And so he's gone through this experience, and here it is. God's making covenant with him. And he says again, let's remind ourselves, and after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham, I'm with you, your shield and your exceedingly great reward. And he doesn't listen. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? That is really what is bugging him. That is his concern. He knows God is with him. God is blessing him. But I haven't got an heir. And of course, that was vital and so forth. And we do exactly the same. We have other things on our mind, or things that we want, or we want God to do. And God speaks to us, but we don't always listen. And this is why we keep saying to you, faith comes as you hear. And God wants to speak this evening, I am your shield. Whatever your day has been, whatever your week has been, or whatever you are going through, what trial or test or whatever it is, God wants our attention. I am your shield. Now, it means very simply here in Hebrew that he's our buckler or defense. It's where we get the idea of armor, and in this case, a shield. We get the understanding of this word in 2 Samuel 22, 2 Samuel chapter 22, and in verse 3, he says, the God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Saviour, you saved me from violence. So again, David is seeing that God is his defence. He's just defeated the Philistines, the giants. And they were still around at that time. He has won a battle here. He's seen God as his strength. He can trust. He's my shield and horn of my salvation. He's praising and rejoicing the Lord. And then verse 31 of the same chapter, he says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. So he begins to get greater insight that God's word, what God promises, is true, and that the word of God is a shield to all who trust him. And here it is, faith in the word of God. That whatever I'm going through, God will be my shield. Now, it's interesting because with the armor, and we might look at this later on in Ephesians 6, but the apostle tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And he says, above all, the shield of faith. Now, there are two things with an armor in your armory. Your sword, and the sword can be wielded and moved around, which is designed to do, and also the shield. A shield can move around. It can move against the fiery darts that come against one. So we see this shield is something that moves around, and it's to protect. It's to protect from these fiery darts, and so it can be moved around in warfare. It's not just something that's static, that remains in one place. The same as the sword. The sword of the Spirit moves. It's wielding against the powers of darkness and is the word of God that divides and so forth. So we see that with these two parts of our armor, the shield and the sword, they are active. They are movable, and for our warfare. And so with the sword, obviously the sword of the Spirit is the word of God, which we use against the powers of darkness that divides. And then the shield, where we're shielding against these darts that can come from different angles. So they are two parts of the armor that are active, that we use often. And so that is the idea of our armor. Praise God. Now we're talking today, I am your shield. So I've already mentioned that what Abraham has said here, that God revealed to him in covenant that he was going to be his shield, he was going to protect him in the future, his family and so on. He's not hearing at the time. He's more concerned about something else. But God does get his attention, the same as he does with us. And so on. We then know also in Psalm 91 and verse 4. Psalm 91 and verse 4, it says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. So again, we have this encouragement right through the word of God that 1,000 will fall at our right hand, many at our side, but it shall not come near us. And only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. And he shall cover you with his feathers, and under your wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. So we get a further understanding and revelation of this shield. It's not only the word of God, but we're told that this shield is truth. It is faithful. It is true. And this shield will be your buckler. So God is unfolding more and more the idea of I am your shield. And in other words, he's telling us that truth is our shield. Why? Because lies are a distraction of truth. And what do lies do, or fabrication? It lowers the shield. You see, when you lie, you're opening the door to the powers of darkness. And what happens? You lose your protection. And this is why this is important, because the whole armor, and we're talking about the shield, and God is our shield, can only be effective when we trust and obey God. As the apostle says in chapter 6, and he says in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So we've been shown that The shield is like the word of God, the truth of God. It's now also the shield of faith. So we're getting this idea. We have faith in this. We have faith in God's word. And when we have faith in God's word, that is the shield that protects us. It protects us from unbelief. It protects us from looking at the symptoms or listening to the enemy or whatever. It protects us the same as a shield is protecting from those fiery darts. So that is its nature. And then he goes on, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So you can't separate any of this. You see, you can't even enter spiritual battle if you are somebody that is not confessing the promises of God or believing the promises of God, or you're trying to change the word of God. And that can be a form of lying when we try to change the revelation of what God has said. And sadly, there are many preachers and teachers and Christians out there that try to change God's word. Well, God doesn't really mean that. How often have you heard that said? I've heard it many times. That is a form of lying. And therefore, the armor will not be protected. That shield will not work. This is why we make so much of faith, trusting God, trusting in the promises of God. Because as you do, you will experience this armor. You will experience what God says, I am your shield. I am going to protect you from those fiery darts of unbelief, the lies of the enemy, or how the enemy uses your loved ones in the family or whatever it would be. There is an armor, there is a shield that is protecting you, and you know it. You are aware of the attacks, but they are not penetrating because you are focused on the Lord and on his promises. But if you are not sure about them, or you are changing what God has said, or he doesn't really mean that, or you are not always a truthful person, then you will have problems. And that shield comes down. And we need to be on our guards with this, brothers and sisters. Well, let's look at some areas of this. I've already touched on it, but you distort the truth about something and you will find that your shield begins to start to come down. Now, we're living in an age and generation where so much is being distorted. So much lies, twisted. We hear such words today, demonizing a person, or character assassination, or whatever it would be. We are surrounded with it in news, newspapers, governments, and so on. That is the age that we live in. And sadly, at times, it can be brought in to the house of God. And we have to be on our guards. And if we're not, then we're going to find that this shield is going to begin to drop. What does it say in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Listen to what is said here, that we are to think and meditate on these things. This is to be our source of thinking and heart. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So we're to think on these things. Why such a stress on this? Because this helps with the armor, the shield. It stops us from listening to lies or things that are twisted. And let's face it, at times we all like to hear things that sounds a bit sensational or, you know, whatever it would be. We like to put our ears to it, but God says, be on your guard. Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, think on these things. Because this helps us with our armor. Because we are living in an age and generation where you cannot believe most now of what you hear. It is that bad. And so we have to be on our guard, because we can so easily take these things on board. And then you will find that shield, God is our shield, is not protecting as it should. Always speak truth. Whoever you're speaking to, when you're speaking about the Lord or giving testimony, always speak the truth. Don't let emotions take over, because emotions can start to lie and twist. And I've heard this in meetings in the past where somebody gets up and is giving a testimony of whatever it is, and all the old emotions start coming in and they get hyper and everything, and before you know where you are, they're not really giving it as it should be. A lot of ministers and preachers fall short of this one. When they say, well, how many was healed in a meeting? There are many who do not give a truthful answer. Or how many gave their hearts to the Lord? There are many who don't always give truthful answers. They always want to swell it up and make it sound bigger and so forth. That is lying. And that shield will start to come down. And this is why, sadly, some ministries go off into error and heresy, because they are not quenching the fiery darts of deception and so on. You know, honesty is an integral part of God's shield of defending us and protecting us. I'm reminded of the story of Ananias and Sapphira. You know the story of where God was bringing many saints, saving them. They were under a time of great persecution, and they were gathering together, and they began to share their things, selling land and properties and so on to raise money. And Ananias and Sapphira, they sold land and whatever, but they didn't give all from it at the foot of Peter. And Peter, full of the Spirit, he has like a word of knowledge. He knows something's wrong here. And so when he questions them, well, you know, have you put everything there? Yes, we put everything there. They didn't. They lied. And as a result, they fell down dead. What were we seeing there? That shield protecting them was no longer protecting them. And that's why you see twisting and changing God's word is a form of lying. And God cannot bless it. It is very important that the purity of God's word is presented to the level of light and understanding that the preacher has. We, of course, are continually growing and learning, but what we have learned, what we know, and what we read, we are faithful to it, and we don't twist or change it or water it down. Because if you do, that shield will fall. Mark my words. You see, God's shield is vital for warfare. It's vital against these fiery darts of just everyday living. You know what it's like to live every day? To go through the trials and the tests? I don't know about you, but I find living in this world is one of the greatest challenges that we find, that we face. We are facing many things, many decisions, and we need the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. And if you are not walking as you should, then you are not going to find that that shield protecting you from everyday life and living is going to be effective. We walk as overcomers, brothers and sisters, because of this shield that protects us from the lies and the deceptions of this world. It helps with our discernment. There are a lot of Christians, bless their hearts, but they're not very discerning. They're not discerning the signs and the times that we live in. And a lot of the problem is the shield isn't working as it should be. Or hearing from God, hearing what the Spirit is saying or the Spirit is saying to the church. Again, absolutely vital that we hear both individually and corporately. And if one isn't hearing as one should, then there's something wrong with the armory. The shield is often the problem, because I read back to you in Genesis 15. He said to Abraham, I am your shield. I am going to protect you. And so it's vital how we hear from God. And that's why I opened up with Abraham there, when God spoke to him in chapter 15. And Abraham goes off on a different subject on the next verse. And we do exactly the same at times, because we don't always listen. The shield is so important to be led by the Spirit. That we walk by faith, that we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. You can only walk in the Spirit when God is your shield. He's your protector, because you can be well assured the powers of darkness don't want you to walk in the Spirit. They're going to try anything to trip you up or to sidetrack you or whatever it would be. And we know that. It's absolutely vital that the shield is protecting us for our prayer life and the answers to our prayer. And I've been speaking recently about how God wants to take us deeper with prayer and prayers of intercessions and supplications, which I've shown that they are the prayers of the Holy Spirit, the prayers of the high priest praying through you. But again, is God your shield? That is the question. Is God our shield with regard to our healing and deliverance? It is God's will to heal and deliver us. It's not rocket science when you get into the Word of God. But if that shield is not working effectively as it should be, then you are open to sickness, disease, and so on. And so God has to remind you. He has to bring you back to the revelation of the fact, I am your shield. And he has to work this in Abraham. Because at the moment, Abraham was not fully listening. He was more concerned about he hadn't got an heir. And God has to do the same with us. We sometimes can become so blinkered and so honed in on something in our lives that we're failing to hear properly what God is saying. And that's why God deals with the self-life. Only the cross can deal with the self-life as it is crucified daily, so that then you start to hear what God is saying. And you are experiencing that he is your shield, defender, your protector. Nothing's going to harm you. And you're able then to read Psalm 91 and others with great joy and blessing and believing every word of it, because you know that that is your experience. But all the while you're honed in on other things, or your own anxieties and fears or whatever it would be, it cannot be effective as it should be. And of course, the shield is our protection from the very enemy himself, who goes around like a prowling lion, seeking those whom he may devour. That shield has to protect us, because the word of God says that if it were possible, even the very elect could be deceived. That's how close it can get at times, brothers and sisters. And so we need to really embrace fully what he's saying here. I am your shield. And that shield, he's going to teach you how to use it, what position to face when the fiery darts are coming. There, the shield is already there, in place, taking them. And so they just drop to the ground, because that shield is protecting you. You see, this shield speaks of God being one step ahead of the enemy. And you need to know that in your life, that he is always one step ahead in your life, preserving, keeping, blessing you. Because things on the earth are getting worse. The powers of darkness are coming in. We are seeing the beast system being placed into position, coming forth. And until the Lord takes us and raptures us, until then, this shield has to work. I am your shield. He has to protect us. And that's why the Lord says, as I close in this, that we are to be watchful. We are to pray, as Jesus speaks of in Matthew. Watching and praying. You can only do that if that shield is working in your life. It's not going to work otherwise. You see, we so often speak about the whole armour of God, and I've done several teachings on Ephesians 6 on the armour of God. But the question is, are we experiencing that armour? Because that armour is for soldiers who are active, who are being used, who are willing to go into battle, who are willing to be obedient to the Lord, and so forth. That is the reason why the whole armour is there, for that purpose. It's an indication that I can wear this and take this up, and I can be effective for the glory of God. Why? Because I know and have experienced that God says, I am your shield. And you will never ever go into battle. You will never ever fully put this armor on or experience it if you are never sure that God is your shield. You will always have doubts about it. And this is why a lot of Christians really do not understand the whole armor of God. They only read it, they know it theologically, they may talk about it, but they don't actually experience the wearing of it, the functioning of it, the entering into true warfare, which is what it's for, you see. And the reason they don't fully experience is because they are not experiencing, as God said to Abraham, I am your shield. I am protecting you. So, brothers and sisters, we see very clearly how important this is. In the times that we're living now, God wants to take us deeper in consecration. He wants to take us deeper with Him. But He cannot move or take us any deeper if we're not completely convinced that He is our shield and that He's going to protect me, and that whatever comes my way, those fiery darts, whether they are spiritual, oppressive, or physical, or whatever it will be, I am protected, I am preserved from it. You have to know that from the head to the heart. And when you know that, you are sure, you are grounded in this, then God can begin to use you for warfare. Because we're not up against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, dominions, and so on. You know it. You've heard it many, many times. The sons of God, the overcomers, they have the experience of wearing the armor of God and using it. They know its capabilities. They know and have assurance of its protection. That is ultimately what He's training us for, brothers and sisters. And we can run away from it. We can put it to one side, or we can just say, oh, it's just for sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, whatever it is. No, it's no good, because God is challenging the problem. I am your shield. Have faith in that. And when you have faith in that, the rest will flow. God will teach you everything and more to stand and be effective in these last days. Hallelujah.
Down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.